So I found myself in Bryanston today. We are at Samsung's offices. I'm talking to Mike, Van Leer, who is the Vice President of Consumer Electronics in for Samsung South Africa. And at least to my understanding, there's two big businesses inside of Samsung. You've got the mobile business in South Africa, and you've got the consumer electronics business in South Africa, and those are the two big units. So today we're going to be talking to Mike just around what's going on in his world. So Mike, greetings to you today.
Mandiwe, it's great to be with you and share some knowledge and some of the cool trends that are coming out of the Consumer Electronics Division. So it's nice to be here with you.
No, definitely. And thank you so much for having us at your offices. It's always a great place to, just geek out and see what's going on in the world of Samsung. Maybe before we get into some serious business, you are the head of the consumer electronics business. What does the, for the maybe the uninitiated, what's under your purview?
It's interesting. I get asked that often. Of course, when I'm at Braai's and friends say, "What do you do?" and I say, "I work for Samsung," they say, "Oh, the phones." In essence, and probably the easiest way of explaining it, it's everything that Samsung does other than the phones and the tablets. Another way of describing it probably is anything that plugs in permanently, although that's not completely true now. But TVs, home appliances, so refrigerators, washers, dryers. We've got an air con division, which does cooling solutions for big buildings, but also room air conditioners for your home. And we have enterprise business division, which looks after large format displays, which we call smart signage. Things like when you go into a McDonald's, for instance, you see that screen up there. That's not a TV. That's actually a commercial display, which is designed to burn for 24 hours. And part of that division also is the monitor business. Of course, a very sexy product, and we know that gaming monitors is a huge thing. So it really is a plethora of product. But easy is everything but the phones.
Okay, cool. I think that gives us some understanding. So last year when we spoke to you, you gave us a little bit of insight into what things were looking like on the TV side of the business, and it was quite a, it sounded like quite a healthy business at the time. I think 250,000 or so units being manufactured locally, and then just I think you are highlighting the fact that you're seeing growing sales, with the more premium,
Yes, that's right.
TVs at the time.
Right, right.
In 2024, what's sticking out?
Oh, look, TV has always been a very exciting business. You know that we've had CES recently in Las Vegas in January. They con Samsung continue to innovate in a way that actually boggles the mind. When you were at Cinema Architects last year, you saw a 110-inch micro LED, which is a pretty impressive product. You'll remember the retail price is quite staggering, around 2.5 million. This is normal for these new technologies that come in. We're very excited to continue that range of product up to 126-inch now, which is interesting. At CES, they did include what's called a transparent OLED,
Yes, I remember.
Or micro LED.
Yeah.
Which is extremely interesting. I've not seen that product in the flesh yet. I hope to see it quite soon. But simply said, it's a product that when it's turned off, you can see through. So if you've got that product in front of a window and you have an amazing view, which probably someone that can afford that has an amazing view, you can look through the TV. So there's that kind of cool technology. I know that every single brand and vendor is speaking about it, and it's no different here at Samsung, but AI is the next big thing.
Big thing.
For me, also in the tech world, it's something that's reasonably new to us. But on-device AI is important, and we've seen that being bought in, particularly in the premium TVs. So the processors that we're putting into TVs are a lot smarter, a lot faster. Some of them up to 8 times the neural networks that you would see in our last generation TVs. And in essence, and particularly in layman's terms, it means it can process big data a lot quicker. So it can understand you or your habits a lot quicker, and a lot more seamlessly than you think. So think of AI as being something, particularly on device AI, as being something unobtrusive. It's something that happens in the background. You don't even necessarily know that it's happening.
Yeah.
I'll give you a couple of examples of that. Actually, in South Africa, some of our challenges are, I mean, we have many challenges. Globally, we have challenges. In South Africa, it's no different. We have some challenges. But some of our challenges are things like low internet speed. Mm-hmm. Even our cable operator or satellite operator in South Africa is still mainly pushing in HD content into the TVs. Yeah. And we always speak about these exciting 4K and 8K panels. And often I get asked, well, where's the 8K content? Oh, of course, there's channels now, you know, Netflix and some of the OTT, YouTube, they've got 8K content coming in, which is great. But if you don't have a fast internet speed, it can be a little bit tricky. And that's where the processor and where AI comes in. It immediately picks up what's coming into the TV without you even thinking about it. It's upscaling. Mm. We've been upscaling for some time. But when you put AI into that, it's giving you around a 96% accuracy rate to full true 8K. Mm. So if you're pushing in HD or 720p, it's upscaling to 8K and you really don't realize it. It's just happening in the background. So that's something that's really cool happening there. Of course, we speak about, and that really is part of the TV business, but we speak about, and we've just been speaking about the Freestyle. This little projector has been an amazing phenomenon for us. I mean, we sold thousands of units last year. It was much more accepted than we believed at first. We thought it would be a reasonably niche product. But people are on the move. You know, people are investing in experiences. They're going camping. They're going to hotels. They're going on holiday. And this product you can take with you anywhere you like, you know, up to 100 inches. And it's a full smart experience. So everything from smart things to what you would see on your normal Samsung TV at home.
Yeah.
So a product like that is really cool. I mean, there's just a plethora of product. But one more to mention, I would think, is the new short throw projector, the Premiere.
Yeah.
You saw that as well at Cinema Architects. Yes, we did have one there. There was a 4K unit. The new unit coming in now is an 8K version of that.
Nice.
Up to 150 inches, which is really huge. So for those people who've got really large houses and want something that is not hanging on a wall and they want short throw projection, Premiere will be out at the end of this year. We haven't seen sight of price point yet. I guess reasonably high priced, but fantastic technology coming out of that. So really excited for what's coming out this year.
Am I stretching it too far by saying that we're probably going to have a convergence sometime soon? Because, you know, the UST projectors, the ultra short throw projectors, you know, were meant to maybe get into that gap. You know, 120, 150 inches, you know, but at a much cheaper price.
Yeah.
But now you see things like your micro LED, you know, coming into the market. Yeah. The wall, when it first came out, you know, and now I think about the micro LED TV that we saw last year, you know, that's vastly cheaper. Still very expensive, but much cheaper than when the wall first came out. So you see the technology coming down. Some of the LED TVs are, you know, growing in size. You know, I saw there's a 98-inch outside, you know. So I just wonder at some point, you know, are we just going to completely do away, you know, with the UST projectors, or are we going to have maybe some type of a hybrid, you know, type of device in the middle?
Yeah, I think my view, and first you bring up a couple of really important points, but to my view, and I guess that's Samsung's view as well, firstly, customers want big screen, big panel. And and South Africans, you know, we like everything bigger is better. We tend to have slightly larger homes than what our European counterparts or Eastern, you know, China and these guys. We have larger homes. So we're very hungry for large panel. But what's also very important, I think, is you speak about convergence. I think that there's more a usage model. So, you know, there's a TV that's well designed for home theater, for instance. Our new range of OLED, for instance, is extremely well suited for that.
Yeah.
Performs very well in low light. So if you can dim the lights, you don't have too many windows in the room. An OLED is a very accurate representation of blacks and colors.
Yeah.
Whereas something like a Neo QLED panel is very bright and is much better used in a brighter environment. And many people's living rooms have large
windows
or whatever the case is. And these things are very bright. Of course, we can speak about lifestyle TV, you know, the frame TV and serif TV, where you want a TV that is aesthetically pleasing in your home. But when you speak about projector, I think that that just covers a very different use.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it goes without saying that something like the Freestyle is ultra portable. The kids love it because they can connect their phone. They can watch all the content that they're watching on their phone just on a much bigger screen. But these products do tend to perform better in lower light situations. Mm-hmm. So at night, on a wall outside, when you're camping, you know, take along the battery pack, that type of thing. This is really where we've seen it. So for us, it's more about usage. We've got something that will cover any use that you have for a visual display product. We have that covered for you. And I suspect that that will continue. Of course, if you're talking about connectivity, we have an open platform called SmartThings. Mm-hmm. I spoke about that a lot with you last time. We're very proud that that's open platform, and we've connected with now over 400 vendors internationally. So people, you know, vendors like Philips that manufacture globes, smart globes, or Yale that do locks and cameras for your front door, that integrates seamlessly into SmartThings. And so do all of these devices. So if you've got a smart monitor, or you've got a Freestyle, or you've got a TV, SmartThings is looking at all of those products and accompanying them, and you can connect them as well, you know, which we think is a really nice differentiator.
Out of interest, you know, on the, you know, SmartThings, because, you know, I don't think we often talk a lot about, you know, smart homes and that type of thing. And yet, there are a lot of conversations where we're trying to get, you know, more into Internet of Things and smart homes, smart cities, all of that stuff. For the home specifically, are South Africans really buying into the smart home, I guess, narrative, you know, to say that, okay, fine, on my TV, I can control, you know, maybe a camera, a thermostat, see what's in my fridge, you know, all of that stuff. Are South Africans there, or is it still maybe a more US/Europe type of play?
I think, firstly, I think the consumer, no matter where they live on the globe, generally you find a consumer that's an early adopter of technology. For instance, you are very much like that, right?
Probably.
Funnily enough, I'm not quite like that, which is a bit weird, but early adopters are taking care of this much quicker.
Yeah.
But I think the challenge for vendors and the challenge for Samsung is that we need to make this as seamless as possible. Mm. So often you need to set up something. So you buy a device that's smart, you download the app for that device, you connect to the device, and then you have some sort of control over one piece of equipment. The beauty of SmartThings is that it's automatically connecting. So when you set up that device, it's picking up SmartThings immediately. You log in onto your Samsung account. It puts it onto your phone. By the way, across platform, it works across platform, not only on Samsung devices. And it's picking it up without too much involvement from the consumer. So even if you're not an early adopter, and you want to utilize these benefits, it's automatically kicking you on. What's also very nice about SmartThings, it's not only about the connected devices. There's elements to SmartThings that are starting to come in, like Samsung Food, for instance. And Samsung Food, which obviously is connected to your fridge and is connected to your smart ovens and things like that, is showing you and recommending what to cook, let's say, for tonight, a simple thing like that. But you can tell the Samsung Food app, which sits in SmartThings, that you love beef or you love vegetables or you like potatoes, and it will start recognizing and giving you advice as to what you should cook and what you need for that. So recipes built in, partner apps coming involved, things like that. The other one that's been added about a year ago is called SmartThings Energy. And energy, look, to any South African, energy is like a pretty important topic. But outside of load shedding, for instance, we have things like energy cost. And SmartThings enables across devices, not only Samsung devices, to see how much energy you're using on that device. The good thing is that if you have Samsung devices, it normally has AI built in, and it's automatically trying to reduce your power consumption. So it can use a lower brightness for maybe some content that you're watching. It'll automatically lower the brightness, which happens to lower your energy consumption. Or if you're using a SmartThings connected washing machine, it's automatically dispensing washing liquid according to the weight of the load or the size of the load.
Yeah.
You don't really know that. It's just that it's happening in the background. And so IoT is more like device-to-device, peer-to-peer, and try to build an ecosystem, whereas SmartThings is automatically trying to force one ecosystem, one app, and doing that in the background as seamlessly as possible to someone that's not as technologically advanced as maybe you or I, which I think is interesting. And we've been speaking about smart homes, man, I think for 20 years. Maybe it's longer. I can't remember.
Hence my question about whether South Africans have
jumped. Yeah, but I think it's automatically happening. Okay. And I see more and more people, even people in the office, you know, say, hey, SmartThings. And then they're like, oh, no, let me download. Oh, it's already there. They didn't know, you know, and then they click it on, they connect to their Wi-Fi at home, and all of a sudden it just starts lighting up devices, and then they start selecting them. So it gives a one-stop shop for your IoT needs, if you like. And I think that that will continue to develop. And for certain South Africans, I think that that is a very strong proposition. And it's certainly a differentiator. And I think that that adds to one's life. It's cool that we can buy a really cool TV and a really cool fridge and a really cool monitor and phone. But how does it benefit one's life? And I think that we are strongly advocating for seamless interaction of technology in your home.
Okay.
And I think we're making great strides. SmartThings now is used by 230 million users worldwide.
Yeah.
And like I said, we've joined up with 400 vendors, including Meta, who is helping with the interaction of these types of devices. So a lot of smart devices that are bought has this IP of Meta in the device, which easily integrates with SmartThings.
Do you guys disclose that number for South Africa?
We would if we had the data, but I don't actually have that data at hand. Certainly, I may find that out. Let's find out how many users there are. But I think we could disclose that data, yes.
Okay, cool. It is interesting, you know, what's happening, you know, as people become more integrated with their technology, their devices and all that. But one of the things I'm then curious to understand, because we come from the world of business, right, is to say, okay, it's great that the technology is here, but we keep hearing about high interest rates and the consumer being under pressure. You guys are a consumer electronics business.
Yeah.
Is the consumer affording, you know, your products? Mm-hmm. How are you guys thinking around your pricing strategy for South Africa at the moment?
Yeah, I think value is the key to that. Firstly, last year probably globally was one of the hardest economic years. And we know it because we all consumers, right? Inflation was high. In South Africa, our exchange rate wasn't easy to handle. And we sprinkle a little bit of dust as South Africans just to keep it a little bit interesting. But, you know, load shedding had the worst year it did last year. So things like energy, but like you say, affordability is something that is interesting. Mm. We've got a couple of things that we're doing. Firstly, I have to reiterate the point on energy.
Yeah.
If you buy a Samsung product, it's generally much more energy efficient.
Mm.
Things like a washing machine or a fridge, all of them come stock standard with an inverter.
Mm.
That inverter, same with aircons, that inverter can save you up to 77% of your energy bill.
Yeah.
And if you start thinking about saving energy over a period of time, that simply saves you money. I was surprised because I had an old technology. It happened to be a Samsung, but it happened to be an old technology washing machine. And I didn't realize how much energy I was using. And when I bought the new washing machine about a year ago, I downloaded SmartThings. I started looking at the energy usage, and I couldn't believe how much more energy efficient it was versus the last one. And I kind of said to myself, should have done this 5 years ago. So these types of technologies, it's important that we continue to educate the consumer on how they can save. The second thing, and we talk about very expensive TVs, these OLED TVs, now QLED TVs, micro LED even for that matter. But this year we will launch Trade In, Trade Up. You're probably the first journalist to hear about that. I can speak about it because, in fact, we had a soft, not a soft launch, but we tested the environment last year.
Yeah.
In South Africa, we have 15 Samsung brand stores across the country, so accessible to most people. And by Q2 this year, we will be launching Trade In and Trade Up. Means your old TV, whether it's working or not, you can take in and get a very large discount off your Samsung product. Of course, as South Africans, we also like different types of payment methods. We have on Samsung.com instituted some interest rate reductions or 0% interest with some of the leading banks. So you can pay it off over 12 months without having to pay any interest.
Yeah.
And we also instituted what we call buy now, pay later, which allows the consumer to only start paying for it a little bit later, like 3 months later, which makes it a lot more affordable to get a really great tech product. Those products, those finance products, we'll also be putting into the brand store, and we're quite excited about that in Q2 this year. So very accessible in store. Consumers can get their great tech. They don't have to fork out a huge cash saving, and we've added trading above that as well, which is really cool.
I actually want to zero in on, you know, both those aspects. With buy now, pay later, I'm sure that it's an easy one to institute in your own stores because, you know, you guys control the stores. It's your own store. You can put in whatever, you know, payment system or method you want. But does that, do you have any influence over maybe your third-party sellers, online retailers, your normal, you know, retailer? Someone goes into Game, Macro, whatever it is they want to buy a Samsung TV. Or is that, you know, those types of offerings, is that just more on the side of the retailer themselves?
This is a very interesting thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you in on a little secret.
Yeah.
We don't own the Samsung stores.
Okay.
They're actually operated by independent operators.
Okay. Yeah.
I wouldn't call it a franchise model because we don't ask for any franchise fees or anything like that. But some of our big partners actually operate those Samsung stores. The good thing about that is that we've already proved now that we can do it to a third party, if you like.
Yeah.
And we will continue to work very closely with some of the mass retailers and the biggest retailers to ensure that we can, you know, work with their payment platforms and allow them to do it. That'll be the phase two. But let's get phase one going with the 15 brand stores. And like I said, we'll go live in Q2, and then let's hope we can work with other big mass retailers to ensure that we bring that value through them as well.
Okay. And I guess the second one was the trade-in, right? I know that on the mobile side, you know, that's been a big push, you know, that you can go in with an older device, and then there's a trade-in value, all of that stuff. Same model, or have you found any ways to, I guess, switch it up?
No. We've learned from our mobile colleagues that trade-in environment has been extremely successful for them.
Yeah.
And it's been extremely successful, really, on those 15 brand stores. Although you can get it in other areas of the MX business, brand store has been by far the most successful channel. As a result, we feel like consumers are saying, cool, we love buying your phones and getting this added value and added discount. Can we have it on other products?
Yeah.
So we will test it on TVs, like I said, and who knows, maybe home appliance and some of the other cool products that we've got might be phase three in terms of the product rollout. But we're confident that it will work well simply because it's worked so well and been accepted so well on our mobile business.
That's actually, you know, quite cool, you know, just hearing, you know, some of these ways because, yeah, like you said, it has been a very tough environment for consumers. So anything that, you know, the OEM such as yourselves can do to actually help people access, you know, some of these things, you know, make sense, especially in such a difficult environment. The other piece I wanted to understand, you and I began talking today, you know, about, let's say, CES, and, you know, some of the new technologies that are coming out on that side, etc. For a market like South Africa, like, how was the decision framework of what actually gets to come to South Africa, what doesn't come to South Africa? Because I remember with the, what you call this, last year, one of the things you mentioned was that with micro LED, for example, it's very niche, maybe 10 households at most in South Africa that will be coming in at those price points, but at least there's a presence of the product, right? So how do you decide, you know, from that?
Look, we obviously look at the addressable market in South Africa, and you're quite right. It's somehow exciting for us and frustrating for us in the same breath. When we go to CES or when we look at the CES products that are promoted, I've got a good list of the top products that were launched at CES, and then I'll get into some of the ways in which we try to bring some of that technology to South Africa. I spoke about transparent micro LED. This is an extremely niche product. I think it's probably 5 years away from hitting our shores. Mm. Generally, Samsung tends to look at the very big and rich markets first.
Yeah.
And it's normally North America, Western Europe, Korea itself. It's always used quite substantially as a test market. And then you can guess probably some of the other markets.
Yeah.
The important thing for that is that we get to test those products in markets and see how the consumers interact with it. Mm. And when the technology starts to get more cost effective, then markets and developing markets around the world, in Latin America, in some of Southeast Asia, but also in Africa, become quite important.
Yeah,
because that's where you get the scale. That's where you can take the product. So yes, we do normally move behind the times in terms of that. Although some of those premium products, like you mentioned, micro LED, is available and at least orderable by South Africans. Mm. We spoke about Freestyle and 8K projector as well, which came out of CES. We've got this great product, which you actually see here today, which is called the Music Frame. Mm. You'll remember 6 years ago, we launched the Frame TV.
Yes.
That has really become very recognizable lifestyle TV in South Africa and is doing particularly well. It continues to grow triple digit every single year now, which we're very excited about. But what we've launched now is called the Music Frame. Which is kind of like a soundbar / boombox kind of effect, but it looks like a frame, and it's the picture is interchangeable, and it happens to be an excellent audio product which you can connect to any device. We also launched a plethora of gaming monitors. That gaming monitor that we have on display today is a 57-inch. That is actually a QLED product. We also have a plethora of OLED products, all the way to 360 hertz refresh rate. You need one hell of a PC to drive it. But wonderful products that we put in through, all the way up to 57-inch, which is that Odyssey product that we see there. And of course, on the home appliance side, let's don't forget about the home appliance side. We launched, and this is probably where we get into the second part of that question. We launched Family Hub. Mm. Family Hub's actually been around for around 5 years now. So it's got a built-in screen and it's got built-in cameras in the fridge itself. So it can analyze your food, understand what you're running out of, but also now the new integration is expiry date. So it warns you as to when your food will expire.
Really?
Yeah, which is fantastic.
These are the multicolored fridges, right?
Yes, it's called Bespoke Family Hub. So you can change the panels and change the colors as you please to suit your lifestyle and your kitchen and your home, which has also been very successful. Also sold thousands of these colorful fridges last year.
I won't lie, I found it very interesting. When I first, because I think I went to one of the There's a big showroom in Four Ways
Crossing. Yes, Design Quarter Experience, we call it.
Yeah.
Which was built around the bespoke fridge.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I remember seeing it for the first time. And I was like, no, not Design Quarter. At Four Ways Crossing, I just forget the name of the shop. There's a huge Samsung.
Yes, it's one of our Samsung brand stores. It's operated by an independent operator called The Digital Experience.
Exactly, yes. And I remember it was about a year or maybe late 22, I started seeing. What struck me was there was a red fridge and then there was like a pastel sort of pink fridge. I was like, what is going on here? Because there is another brand that does, you know, those types of colors.
Yes.
But it was the integration of the screen and all that. I was like,
yes.
I remember in that moment, I was like, I wonder who's buying this. But, you know, like you're saying, people are buying this.
Yeah, can you believe it? I mean, that's the beauty, I suppose, globally. They're rich people as well and wealthy people. And, they like making their home a little bit different to what the rest are.
Yeah.
And that bespoke range has been very successful. By the way, we have bespoke washing machines, bespoke dishwashers, bespoke microwaves. So multiply colored devices throughout the range now.
Yeah.
Which is important, and we have that full offering now. But this 32-inch screen that's built into the Bespoke Family Hub, we haven't yet bought into South Africa. And one of the reasonings behind that is, in fact, internet speed.
Oh, okay.
The internet speed in South Africa, average internet speed of people that are connected is around 35 megabits per second now, which is probably high enough now to start negotiating with HQ to get a product like that. But globally, the average internet speed in a developed market is 150 megabits per second. So connectivity is an important thing, and we share stats like that with HQ. When it gets to a level which is adequate to be able to operate a product like that, then we start bringing them in.
Okay.
And we're at the cusp of making that decision, particularly with this Bespoke Family Hub. Which we've been pushing for some time now, and it looks like we're at the level now that we can start speaking to HQ about introducing that into South Africa. And then the one last product, which was also a second rendition of the product, is a product called Bali, or maybe in South Africa we should call it Bali.
Mm.
Which is an AI assistant. I'm not sure if you saw that coming
this
out
one,
of
this
out
one,
of
no,
CES,
I'll
but it's like a size of a large soccer ball, I would say, with wheels, and it kind of runs around your house a little bit like a jet vac, like one of those robotic vacuum cleaners.
Yeah,
but it has a built-in projector in it. It's an AI assistant, and you can call it over, and from wherever it is in the home, it will come to you.
Yeah.
And you can ask it to any question you like. Yeah. For instance, tell me what the weather is like today or for the next 5 days. And it will use its processor to search the internet, and it will, just like the freestyle, project it on the wall or the roof or whatever, and give you all the information you like.
Mm.
So this is going to be another interesting one. And I was hoping you weren't going to ask me the question as to when we would put that in South Africa, but it's the same concept.
Okay, cool.
Let's test it in other markets. And when it becomes accessible, you know, from a connectivity perspective, then we will bring it here locally. But that's a technology we should keep a lookout for.
Yeah.
In the next 5 to 10 years, I think AI assistants will become a really huge thing. And this thing will be helping you in the background, unobtrusive, whether it's on your mobile phone, on your TV, or in a robotic type of product like Bali. It would be able to add benefit to your life. Which
yeah,
is interesting.
It is quite an interesting, approach that Samsung appears to be taking when it comes to its smart home strategy. Because a lot of the, I don't work for Samsung, so I can say Alexa, I can say Google Nest, and you know the Home Hub, you know. Apple is also, you know, trying to get into the smart home game. But particularly for things like your Nest Hub and your Alexa Hubs, you know, product, it's got a screen on it, maybe a big speaker attached to it. And then that's, you know, I guess the hub for the home. And it's interesting that Samsung has decided not to necessarily go in that direction, but to use existing products, a fridge, the TV, you know, as being those, you know, those centers, those hubs that when you're watching TV, you have a widget, you know, that you can use to actually monitor the state of your house as opposed to having a separate. Yeah. So I just find it interesting, you know, that that's the direction that someone has done.
Which is interesting. By the way, some of those names you used, they're completely integrated into smart things.
Yeah.
We don't believe we need a physical device because we have on-device power. So in your mobile phone, you've got a processor on there. You've got smart things on there. So you can manage all your devices from that particular product. You can do the same from your TV, of course. Mm. And you speak about that becoming the hub. Yes, I think there are multiple products that just becomes the hub. So no need for an external device. But also the integration of those products. Nest, I can speak about that because it's integrated. One of the vendors, it's integrated into SmartThings, and it's one of the 400 plus vendors that we've been able to partner with. So that open architecture is something that I think is very interesting, and it allows you to break free of the ecosystem that your device or your brand that you are backing allows you to do. So you can add a plethora of products to it, which is interesting.
No, certainly. And I think maybe that's where we could end off for today, because all of the conversations that we've been having sort of lead me to that point of the strategy. Because let's say, for example, we started off talking today about all the new AI products and services that are coming to the consumer devices. And I guess one of the things I've been trying to tease out and understand is, you know, when can I here in South Africa actually get to experience, you know, some of those things? Because Samsung has gone quite big on AI. I was at the S24 launch a couple of weeks ago. That felt like an AI presentation that just so happened to have some devices as well. And so obviously Samsung has gone big, you know, on the AI, but I was trying to really gauge an understanding of AI is a huge thing, but on the consumer electronics side, you know, how soon before we start, you know, interacting with, you know, all of it. Obviously, some of it, we've been seeing it on the upscaling side, like what you said, but, you know, beyond that, the new things that are coming out this year, when do we start seeing some of that, you know, in South Africa? And as far as you're concerned, what are some of the use cases that you're excited about when it comes to AI?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I can tell you we're very proud and excited about the fact that S24 is the first on-device AI product. That's why I guess you were exposed to that a lot and showed you a lot of the benefits like translation, real-time translation, things like that. Things that benefit you unobtrusively in the background. In terms of launch of new consumer electronics AI devices, you won't need to wait long. End of Q2 is when you can expect these devices to be launched actually globally.
Yeah.
And in fact, what's interesting about that is that we have not normally globally introduced consumer electronics products. Normally, it's done by market.
Okay.
And for some of the reasons that we spoke about before, this will be the first year that we have a global launch of consumer electronics products in South Africa. That will start at the end of Q2. You'll start seeing the dates coming through very shortly. For pre-orders, et cetera, et cetera. And we're pretty excited about that. On device AI, I think once again, we've got to reiterate that we don't want people to, like with smart homes, that you had to be very technically involved. AI is going to support you and benefit you without you really knowing.
Yeah.
And I think about gaming monitors, or I even think about TVs, you know. The TV learns what kind of shows you like. Do you like watching movies? Do you like watching animation? Do you like watching sports? Do you like playing RPG games? Do you like playing adventure games? Do you like playing, you know, those types of things? And automatically the on-device AI is understanding what you're doing and adjusting the settings accordingly, giving you the best experience. And that's probably the last thing that I'd love to say to consumers. Samsung is about adding benefit to your life, not just selling you a product. And that's why AI and on-device AI is going to become such an important environment for a consumer, because it's going to give them benefits in their life.
Mm.
Things like energy saving on smart things, that gives you benefit in life. And it's not just specifically about a product.
Yeah,
it's about that ecosystem. And this is exciting times ahead, I suspect.
Definitely. So that's where we end off. It has been a really great discussion, you know, just talking to Mike about what's going on in the world of Samsung, specifically on their consumer electronics side. I think he described it earlier on as everything but the mobile devices. So from fridges, televisions, washing machines, you know, projectors, you know, any number of things, microwaves, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, they have a play on that point of view. Also talking about the strategy, a lot of new exciting technologies that have been introduced from the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas earlier this year. And I guess one of the big things that we were talking about is from a business strategy point of view, how does what happens on a global level filter down, you know, to, you know, markets like South Africa, because not everything is going to work in every market. There's a particular set of circumstances globally. We are in an interesting economic moment where around the world, we're all facing high interest rates. We're all facing inflation, but there's still idiosyncrasies in South Africa. And the company has been thinking about it. And he outlined, you know, some of the ways that they're trying to assist, you know, buy now, pay later, a trade-in program, you know, taking some of the learnings from the mobile side, bringing them over to other devices. They're going to be piloting using, you know, TVs, and who knows what other, you know, electronics, you know, will then get added onto that. A big part of it is obviously artificial intelligence and how to make that, you know, work, and also how to bring that down to a country like South Africa. So it has been a great one. We're in conversation with Mike van Leer, who is the Vice President for Consumer Electronics for Samsung South Africa. Mike, thank you so much.
Great to be here with you, Madiwe, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Most certainly, definitely. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter. We're hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.